Good morning, everyone. It is Thursday morning, April 17th, 2014, and you are listening to episode 17 of the Kitchen Stitches podcast. If this is your first time joining me, I'm so glad you're here. And for those of you who are returning, thanks for coming back. We do have a Ravelry group. It is the very obviously named Kitchen Stitches group. I would love to have, I would love to have you join. I want to start off with a couple of apologies. First of all, allergy season is in full swing and my throat's a little scratchy and my nose is a little runny. So I may be coughing a little bit, maybe some clearing throats, maybe a little sniffles. Unfortunately, my dog has also been hit by the allergy bug and is constantly scratching. So you may hear that too in the background. Poor thing. We've treated her for fleas, and I think we need to find something else because it just didn't seem to help that much. So that's our plan for the weekend. Fun times. So, like I mentioned, I am recording in the morning again. I really liked doing that last week. I may have to divide it up into segments again like I did, but we'll see. Because I recorded last week and I'm recording just a week later, a little over a week later, I don't have quite as much to talk about. So maybe I can actually keep this to a shorter episode and get it all done before I need to go to work. Let's see. What am I going to talk about today? What I've been up to, a couple of finished objects, nothing big there. Whips that I've worked on, a little tip that I have for you, a little bit about our Christmas All Year Long knit along, and a couple of things in the kitchen. And I know that there were a couple of things else that I wanted to talk about that I absolutely cannot remember. So if those pop up, then I'll remember that. If I remember those, I'll pop those in here too. Hold on just a minute. I think my dog needs to go outside. Okay, I'm back. Oh, and now I have a cat serenading you too. That's fantastic. So what I have been up to, nothing terribly exciting this week, but a few things that I want to talk about. The first of these is we are all very excited because we have booked a cabin in the Smokies for our vacation this summer. We decided a while back that that's what we wanted to do this summer, and we hadn't really thought about where we were going to stay, but the last time we went to the mountains for a friend's wedding, we stayed in a cabin, and I just loved it. And so I just looked around to see the costs on them, and it turns out the cost for renting a cabin is pretty much the same as for renting a hotel room. So we managed to find one that is very reasonably priced, and we are very much looking forward to that. I had never been to the Smokies until we got married, and that was where, well, actually right a little before we got married, and then that was where we took our honeymoon. About 21 years once we actually go on vacation. The kids have been to the Appalachians in the North Carolina area, or Blue Ridge, I guess, but they've never actually been to the Great Smoky Mountain National Park. And I'm really looking forward to going. And we are staying on the further west side of the park, so it's not as touristy. I'm sure we'll go into Gatlinburg at some point so the kids can see it. But we're going more for the outdoorsy part of the park. We had made these decisions a while back, but what got me excited about it was looking at Instagram and Froggy Monkey and DJ Knits a lot, or DJ Knits from the Knitting in Circles podcast. Sorry, we're posting pictures from their vacation last week at Tennessee State Parks, and it just got me going. I was like, "Oh, I've got to go!" So we made those plans, and I can't wait. We're going at the end of July. As a result of that, I'm trying to get back in the habit of exercising, just because I know that I'm not going to be climbing any massive mountains anytime soon, but I want to be in better shape than I am right now. So we have a slight training plan right now, just probably honestly just for this week, is to just get a mile in every day. And anything I do over that earns me a point. And when I earn enough, basically in my head, a point is worth a dollar. And when I've earned enough, I can buy a skein of yarn or, you know, something, some type of reward. And this week, I'm pretty sure I'll make it over a little bit. I've already done about 4.5 miles. So it won't take long. It won't take much to get up to the 7 mile mark. Hold on just a minute. Now the dog wants back in. Okay, I'm back again. So as part of this getting back into the habit of exercising, we are making a concerted effort to go out and do some hiking. And we went out to Brazos Bend State Park over the weekend. I don't know, I've probably talked about Brazos Bend before, because I feel like I've talked about the alligators and going out and seeing the alligators. If not, then this will be new to everybody. If not, then it's new for those who haven't listened to me from the beginning. Brazos Bend is a state park that's about 30 minutes from where we live, and it's on the Brazos River in southeast Texas, and it's a fairly large state park. I want to think that it's one of the larger state parks in Texas, and there's a lot of ponds and lakes and trails, and the lakes have alligators, so I love to go out and watch the alligators. It's a thrill. So we went out this past Sunday, I believe it was, and it was Sunday, and we saw 8 alligators that 8 or 9, and that was actually not as many. The last time we went out, we saw 40, which was more than we've ever seen, but that was right at the very, very beginning of spring, and they were just starting to emerge. They were everywhere that day, but we walked about 2 miles that day through on a really nice trail. I don't know what we'll do this weekend. We'll go out and hike somewhere else. Not sure where. The only other thing to talk about what I've been up to is this week is National Library Week. And one of the things that we've been doing at work is releasing a video, well, more than one video every day on our website and our blog and YouTube. And what I have been doing is, and this, I mean, this may seem a little counterproductive to some of you, but this is my directive and I do what I'm told. But, I'm taking the audio portion of the videos and turning it into a podcast. And I've been doing that for a while, but this week it's been really fun. They're very, very short episodes. So far we haven't had one that's more than 5 minutes, I don't think. I do a little intro, which I'm actually getting quite a lot better at. The ones that we've done in the past have been scripted, just because whenever I go off script, I sound like I sound right now, which for home and my personal podcast is just fine. For work, it's a little too informal. But for the ones that I've done this week, the more I've done them, the more natural it sounds. So I'm really proud of them. And I don't know if anybody has any interest in listening, but if you search iTunes for Houston Public Library, you can find the podcasts that I've put up. And what we have so far are a handful. We have an intro from our assistant director, and then a couple of staff interviews, and or maybe 3 or 4 staff interviews, and 3 or 4 customer interviews. And they're fun to listen to, I think. Besides what we've done this week, we've got some others from our, we've got some from poetry events that we've done, an interview with Reverend Bill Lawson, who is a minister at Wheeler Street Baptist Church here in Houston, who was active in the civil rights movement and still active in that community. And it's a really good interview. So I just thought I'd put that out there in case anybody is interested. And it's been fun, and it's been a learning experience. Right now, just for a little inside information, how I record my podcasts is just I use an app called Twisted Waves on my iPad, and I don't use a mic or anything after my experiments showed that it sounds better when I actually didn't use a mic. And it's, I don't do any editing. I record, upload, and that's it. And it's very easy. But at work, I've been using GarageBand, and I really would like to learn to use it a little better. And so there may be some changes to the podcast as I get better with what I'm doing at work. Whew. Okay. 10 minutes in. Now let's get to some knitting. Finished objects. The only knitted finished object I have is one Hexapuff in the Unwind Yarn Company Journey Sock in the Aurora Borealis colorway, which I've been talking about, that I made my Collie Wobbles with. And then the other thing that is a finished object is a skein of yarn that I dyed myself. I've been wanting to experiment with dyeing for a while, and I was on the verge of doing it anyway, but then Tanya of Sampler Girl podcast, I could see the icon, but I couldn't put the words there. Who is BZ Mama on Instagram and Tanya Marie on Ravelry, talked about dyeing yarn in her podcast recently and went step by step. I used the same tutorial that she used, which is from knitty.com, and I used Wilton food coloring just like she did. My results were very different from what she did because I tried to use a bunch of different colors. It didn't soak into my yarn very well, so I have a lot of bare spots. It is very pretty, though, just not what I was going for. It is absolutely giving me the dying bug, though, so I want to play around with that some more. I don't know when. I want to do some hand-painted versus immersion dyeing just because I think I would get the results that I want that way better. I don't know. I'm just going to play with it. But so watch my Instagram for that, because I'm sure that I will do that. Whips that I've worked on. Oh, actually, I take it back. I do have another finished object. I finished it yesterday. I made these notes. I was going to record yesterday morning and just didn't have time. I finished my Collister. That was a paid pattern by Kirsten Kapoor. It's a cowl, a very drapey cowl. I used another Crafty Girl Twinkle Sock in the Frozen colorway. And I finished it over a break at work yesterday. I still have to block it and weave in the ends. Not 100% sure how I'm going to block it. It is a very lacy cowl. I've seen a couple of instructions on how to block a cowl like this using dowels or big knitting needles, and I just don't think I have anything big enough. I'll have to check and see. There may be some drumsticks laying around or something. But basically you want to keep it up a little bit so that the two layers of the cowl aren't touching. This turned out very, very pretty and was a very straightforward pattern, very well written. I didn't find any mistakes in it. And it took me, it took me less than a month to make it, maybe close to a month. It was a really, really good pattern. I would highly recommend that one. So my whips that I've worked on, I am steadily working on my Hitchhiker. I think I have 25 teeth now. This is a paid pattern by Martina Bem, and I'm using Spartakies dyes in Where Bluebirds Fly on the Will and Grace base, and this is a beautiful rainbow variegated yarn, and it's a very fun Hitchhiker, very, very bright and colorful. I will be working on that today. I have also been working on my Blurred Lines, which is a paid pattern by Megan Williams of the Stockinette Zombies. I am using Fishnets yarn in the Fuji colorway on the Panache base, which is a sparkle base. And I have one hoe, or a half object, for those of you who don't know what a hoe is. And I started the second one, and I am about 4 stripes in. I've done the toe and then a couple of stripes past the toe. This is a very fun pattern. It took, like I mentioned in last week's episode, it took me a little while to wrap my head around it. Once I had the idea of the pattern, it's smooth sailing. I really like this pattern. I like the way it looks. It's fun. And I didn't make the socks quite as tall as I normally do. partially because I want to finish them quickly, and partially because I just didn't want them as tall as I normally do. So that is that. I am still working steadily on my February square of the Once Upon a Time sampler. I am probably about 3/4 of the way done with February. I do 15 minutes a day. I do a little more than that sometimes, depending on where I am when the 15-minute mark comes up. Part of me wants to do a little bit more a day so I can make faster progress, but at the same time, I have so many other things going on that this is working. It's not like there's a race. And honestly, doing 15 minutes a day, I'm behind right now, but I'm working steadily. And I think eventually I will actually catch up to where I'm supposed to be. And doing 15 minutes a day over the course of a month is not a problem. This would easily get me through a square a month. So maybe what I'll do, I could possibly stop where I am and skip a month and pick it up at the beginning of May with the May square and go back. I don't know. Probably not. That would be silly. Anyway, so those are my whips. So I had a tip that I keep meaning to mention, and I actually remembered right after I recorded not the last episode, but one of the past episodes, I remembered that I wanted to mention this and had completely forgotten. And then I saw someone on Instagram actually mentioned pretty much the same tip, which was very coincidental. Basically, if you're looking for a pattern in a magazine, particularly, I know that the Interweave magazines do this. If your library has a good online journal subscription plan, you may be able to find these patterns through your library. I know a lot of libraries care, well, okay, I don't know if a lot of libraries carry this or not. I work at one of the largest library systems in the country, so what my library carries is definitely not comparable to what a lot of your libraries carry. But a lot of libraries carry knitting magazines in print, but you might not think to look for them online. I'm going to tell you how my library does it. How your library does it will likely be different. But actually, I know of one other product that they use. So I'll talk about both just a little bit, although I can't go into detail about the second. What my library does is we just have our online databases and our online journals. So for my library, it's kind of thrown in with everything else, like all of the scientific journals and history journals and you know, academic journals. It's all thrown in together. So you kind of have to know where to look. If you know the specific magazine, most libraries have a way that you can search the publications, and you can search for that. And of course, your librarian can tell you how to find these things. My biggest recommendation is just to ask at the library. But for us, you have to search. We do have, there are a couple of new databases that came out recently that are specific to DIY type stuff. And I don't remember what ours is called, but it's kind of a home and garden type database that has a lot of crafty stuff. So you might ask if they have that particular one. And what I will do, if I can remember to do it, I'll actually post the name of it in the Ravelry group, and you can, in case you want to check in on it. Another product that a lot of libraries are subscribing to is Zinio. And if any of you have subscriptions to online magazines pre-tablet, and maybe some of you with still a tablet, Zinio is the platform that a lot of companies use to publish their online magazines. Well, they have partnered with libraries over the past few years, and it's a much easier interface from what I understand. I haven't used it because our library doesn't have it, but it's much more browsable. You've got the front-facing covers that you can pick through and that type of stuff. And I know that some libraries do have knitting magazines through that. So that is it's one of those hidden treasures that a lot of people may not think about. So if you have any, honestly, I do a lot of reference for other libraries because of our chat service. If anybody has a question about whether or not your library has it, send me a message. Tell me what your if you're afraid to talk to your librarians, because librarians are so scary. If you want, you can always send me a message and say, hey, I use this library. Can you look and tell me if they have it? I'd be more than happy to do that. So I want to mention our Christmas All Year Long Knit Along. Again, I'm just going to be brief. There are details on the Ravelry group that have more details about the specifics, but basically anything you knit for the holidays, whether it's a gift or a decoration or a Christmas ornament or anything, as long as it's tied into some winter holiday, you can submit it for the CAL. I am doing quarterly prize drawings. I drew last time for the first quarter, and I'll draw the second one at the end of June. And I think for this quarter, I think I'm going to do an Etsy gift certificate. So that will be the prize for that. At the end of the year, we'll do a big drawing from everybody that's participated all year. And that will be something from Absolute Wonder. And I still have to work on the details of that. But that will come up. And I should have details on that by the end of May. So that is that. I'm going to move to In the Kitchen. And it's 7:05, but I don't have much here. I think I can go ahead and get through this. The last time I recorded, I had just baked the Italian cream cake for my friend's birthday, who my friend's birthday is today. I don't think she listens, but if you do, happy birthday, Sarah. The cake was amazing. Honestly, this was one of the best cakes I've ever made. I just drooled to think about it. The cake itself was really moist, and I think I talked about the frosting. Oh, I know I talked about the frosting and how I wasn't sure if I had had enough. I just kind of pasted the layers together with a very thin layer of icing and just had enough for the top. It was perfect. I might do a little bit more frosting the next time, but I don't think I would double it by any, there's no need to do that. It was really good. It worked really well for this cake. I'm actually craving it now, and I want to make another one, but I don't need to do that. So that was that. Again, I linked in the show notes from last week what that recipe was. I will link them again, just to make it easier for you. It was a really good, really good cake. The other thing that I made that was adventurous was a shepherd's pie, and I had found this on Pinterest, but it was actually from, I think it was another Cook's Illustrated recipe. It was from America's Test Kitchen for sure. I don't remember if it was one of those. It was actually there was nothing really difficult about the recipe, but it was labor intensive. Basically you do mashed potatoes by hand and then make the beef with the sauce, and then pipe the mashed potatoes on top of it and make a pretty design with a fork and then bake it. And it actually turned out, it looked just like the cover. The recipe photo. So I was really proud of that. What I've decided is I'm not a huge shepherd's pie fan. I liked it. I think my family, well, I would say the boys liked it more. Eli loved it. Eli had actually already eaten dinner with a friend, came home and saw that I was cooking it, and ate more than one serving of this too. And he took it for leftovers to work. I mean, not to work, to school one day this week, I guess. It was a hit. I don't know. I won't put it into a permanent rotation because it was labor intensive, but I would do it again if it was requested. So that's that. I will link to it in the show notes. Again, this was a Cook's Illustrated or America's Test Kitchen recipe. So in order to actually see the recipe, unless I can find it reproduced on a blog somewhere, I think you have to pay. Yeah, I think you have to be a member. If I can't find it, I might write it up on, I have another blog that's summernewland.wordpress.com that I don't use very often, but I'll post recipes there occasionally, so I may, we'll see. The only other thing I wanted to talk about, and I don't have this on my list because I did this last night, I think I've talked about before how I use Pinterest for meal planning all the time, and I found a recipe from Food Network last week, I think. I have no idea when I pinned this, but it was gnocchi with chicken and mushrooms and spinach. I don't know what the name of the recipe was, but it was so good. You use a rotisserie chicken, so that part's easy. And then gnocchi that you get on the pasta aisle. And what do you do? Basically, you make a white sauce and then add the chicken and the mushrooms and the gnocchi and spinach and just a little Parmesan cheese on top and bake it for about 20 minutes. And it turned out, it was really, really good. Much better. It actually tasted quite a bit like I expected it to taste, which is saying something. It didn't, it met my expectations and then some. So that is everything that I really cooked this week. It's been busy. I don't have any serious baking plans, although I keep meaning to bake this cranberry nut bread that I bought supplies for and I just haven't made yet. So maybe I'll make that this weekend and report back next week. So I managed to do this in about 25 minutes. So I really like this recording before work. I'd love to hear, I don't know if there's any feedback about, if I'm perkier in the morning than I am when I do it at night, but this works for me, although it does make me a few minutes late. My schedule is flexible, so I can come in and go, leave a few minutes later, take a little bit shorter lunch or something, but I am rambling now, so I will go. You can find me on Ravelry as Summer Yarns, and on Instagram as Summer Yarns. That's SOMERYARNS. And I will talk to y'all next week. Bye.